In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. On the second day of the blessed month of Tut, we celebrate the commemoration of the martyrdom of Saint John the Baptist. And the first Sunday of the month of Tut is usually the reading is about this man whom the Lord witnessed about, saying that he is the greatest man born of women. And today, if this is the greatest man, then definitely he would be the best to tell us about what is greatness is about and what greatness is not about even. So today we are going to speak about four points. The first one is what greatness is not about. And second one is about Saint John and making a change. The third point will be about Saint John and Herod the king. And the fourth one is about why did the people follow him. So first let us start with what greatness is not about. We all have impression about what a great man would look like. And I can tell you for sure that nothing of what we think greatness would be about would apply on Saint John the Baptist. He looked different. He spoke to the people in a different style. Everything was different about him. The first thing that we learn from his life is that greatness is not about how we are dressed or how we look outwardly. This man is known about him. He came clothed in a camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. The psalmist tells us that greatness or the beauty of the daughter of the king, meaning the soul of any human, the beauty is from inside. And this part is the one that we really need to pay attention to. Many of us spend maybe minutes, I don't want to exaggerate when I say some people spend hours every day just standing before their dressers, making sure that they look good, appealing outwardly. I believe that if we allow ourselves to spend the same time we spend before our dressers every day, spending the time standing before God in our prayer room, trying to maybe decorate and change the one inside, I believe the results will be much better. And how what is known about his life is very little, 6 months or a year of ministry, and still the Lord says about him that he's the greatest man born of women. God is the one who weighs the heart of men. How can we compare Saint John the Baptist, for example, to Moses? All of this mystery for 40 years, leading the people of Israel, taking them out from the land of Egypt, telling them how to worship God, all of this still is not as what Saint John the Baptist did. There is something here that's mysterious. I'm sure that we cannot just apply the scale of human beings on the length of his ministry or what he said, what he did. Something more here is applied is how God weighs the heart of men. I'm sure that there will be many surprises when we go to heaven and we'll see how God is going to rank people. And maybe some people that we didn't think of them being of great value or great people, God is going to put them above everyone else, simply because he is the one who weighs the heart of men. Something else is about this outward display versus the inner being. It's about the real virtue. We all can be maybe loving from outside. Outwardly, we can display a disposition of love and maybe kindness and charity. But how about what is inside? How about our thoughts and what we meditate upon? Are we wrathful against people? Do we hold the grudge inside? If God allows others to see what is really inside, would it match what we present ourselves with, or will be a total contrast and difference? Maybe we can keep our bodies outwardly clean from immorality. We do not, or maybe did not commit, or we are not committing any kind of immorality, whatever the name of it. But what about the thoughts? What about my heart? This is truly what is the true virtue is about. Maybe at the beginning we can display virtue outwardly, but true virtue should be what is inside, that my heart matches what I present. What I do is exactly what I think of. I am united from in and from out. Greatness is not about being great outwardly, about showing something that's pleasing to others or maybe appealing or maybe people will call me a saint because they see of my good deeds, but because of what is inside. We all can come to the church and pray on Sunday, maybe with some difficulties waking up on Sunday morning, but still something we can do. But what about the inner room? Do we pray in our own homes? Do we try to find the time and the effort to stand and lock the doors, and then we pray only us and God? Here is what is the true virtues about this inward man. So greatness is not about what is displayed outwardly. It is about whom we are from inside, this inner being that we should pay attention to. Greatness is also not about holding a title or a rank. The greatest man born of woman has nothing before his name. He is not a pope or a bishop or a priest or a deacon or anything. He is just John. We call him now Saint John the Baptist, but meanwhile, the man did not fight for becoming something. Some people, they think that unless I hold a title, then I am not worth. My worth is in the title I'm holding. Find people struggling maybe to get for themselves a title, and some they think of themselves that I would fit as a pope or I fit as a bishop. Maybe I should be ordained as a priest. I know what I should be doing. Maybe I should be a deacon. But this is what was greatness is not about. This was not the focus of Saint John the Baptist. He never came to the Lord Jesus and said to him, "If I am the greatest born of women, why you don't give me a title? Why don't you like promote me and give me like a bishop title or anything like this?" This was not his focus, because this is not truly what greatness is about. It is what we do. It's about our convictions and how the standards that we live up to. Greatness is not about making friends with the elite. Actually, if we look at the life of Saint John the Baptist, he was daring to confront all of the leaders of Israel at that time, the Pharisees and even the king himself. He offended everyone, actually. But this is not, again, his greatness is not about making other people friends, trying to please them, speaking to become politically correct, because now this is the era where everyone is very careful about what we say, because they want to say something that gains everyone, and meanwhile, I'm not making any stand for what I believe. This was not Saint John the Baptist. I'm sure if this man comes these days, he is going to be labeled as being intolerant and everything that we hear today about the people who speaks the truth. He did not care much about who his friends are. He was content in just saying to the people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Greatness was not about performing signs and wonders. Saint John the Baptist performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. How we are fascinated with those people who are saying that we are making signs, we are healing the sick, we are speaking in tongues. This is what gets the attention of others. And people are so much minded with to be great, to be good, as a person who should be able to make a sign. I am sure that if Saint John the Baptist is here today and he is giving the sermon, the greatest man born of women, and someone outside in the parking lot is maybe making some signs, all the people will run to see the one who is making the signs. I am afraid when Antichrist will come, many people will follow him simply because they think that it is the sign of greatness, that I would be able to move things around with brain power and healing the sick and all this kind of stuff. He was a great, not only great, the greatest, but he didn't do any sign. So this is the first lesson we hear it. We know it today. I will learn it from Saint John the Baptist. Greatness is not about how we look. It's not about holding a title or rank. It's not in making friends with the elite. It's not in performing signs and wonders. The second point is about Saint John and making a change. We all are trying to make a change in our lives and the life of others as well. As parents, we want to change our children, and we do not know where to start. So Saint John the Baptist is giving us a lesson about how to make a change, not only in the people around you, but also in yourself. The beginning was his lifestyle. He was an ascetic man. He lived in self-control to the utmost. He did not marry, and he was dedicated to the service, and what he ate was just locusts and and honey. I'm not asking that we go today and search for locust where it is sold in Food Mart and this is the beginning, eat locust and honey. It is again how he led himself. Before thinking of leading others and changing them, I should lead myself. A father or mother are displaying always a wrathful attitude towards their children, should not expect their children to be calm and quiet and obedient. If I cannot control my temper, why am I expecting that those people whom I am in charge of are going to show something different? If I am grumbling all the time against my work and my boss and the streets and people are walking around me, why should I expect that my children are going to be thankful and content and they are always satisfied and they are showing that they are okay with everything? The beginning of the change starts in me. St. John the Baptist led himself. That's why it was easy for him to lead others and make them to change. St. John was able to identify who he is. And look what he chose to define himself with. He said about himself that I am just a voice crying in the wilderness. I am a messenger that sent before the Messiah. And I am a friend of the bridegroom. This man, he holds other titles in the church. We say about him, he is the greatest among women. He is the cousin of Emmanuel. And he is a priest because he's the son of a priest. But he didn't use any of these titles. He defined himself with his mission. This is what I am after. This is what I am here for. And that's why he did not have this kind of sense of entitlement. I should be receiving this because I am the cousin of Emmanuel. I should be taking this or that. He was able to lead a change simply because he chose for himself to know, to be known with his mission. This is what I am here after. And that's why, again, the man changed the people around him, how they think, how they should perceive themselves. Unless we know whom we are, there is no way we can move and change. If I think of myself that I am far advanced in my relationship with God, then how am I going to change? Why should it change? I know it all. Actually, many of us, they suffer because simply they want to change the world around them. I identify myself well. I'm a good person. I'm a kind person. I'm a victim. All other people around me need to change. This is not the way truly to lead a change either in our lives or the life of others. St. John the Baptist was able to make a change because his focus was on the real matter. Repent. This is the first message. Very few sentences that we remember about him. The main one is about repent. Why we come to the church today? Unless we have this clear, that I am here to repent. Even all the activities, having a camp or making a choir or having maybe a play at the church, all of these should lead us at the end to what? To repent. Nothing more and nothing less. It is not the activity itself. It's not the entertainment or keeping the company of one another. These are all just facilitators. The core issue is repentance. If I do whatever I do and I do not repent, if I am serving everywhere in the church and everybody knows me about that I am everywhere, I'm doing everything, and I'm not a penitent person, I do not confess, I do not change, I do not repent, I do not take communion, then I think all what I'm doing is leading me nowhere. He cared about the core matter, the most important thing. That's why he was able to get to the people. This is what you need to do. St. John the Baptist was able to change others around him because he had this strong sense of justice. He answered the people in this way. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" So he said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." This is a very important step in making any change, either in a church community, in a household, or in a country. Unfortunately, back home in Egypt, people are going around themselves. Where to start the change? To start the change is to start with justice, that everyone will be treated fairly. And people will always put God before their eyes that he is going to judge for those people who are treated unjustly. If we are not fair, if we are not just in our day-to-day relationships, we cannot change anyone. We assume that we are fair. We always request fairness from others. But the real matter, are we fair ourselves? Do I feel like I have the same duties and the same responsibilities like maybe my wife or my husband? Do I think that what I requested from others is the same that I requested from myself? Do I keep the same standard in judging things? Or I have double, triple, or 100 different standards applies on whom I am dealing with? And this here, if we live like this, there is no way to change. No one is going to believe us. No one is going to be convinced with the message that we try to convey. The third point is about St. John and Herod. Look at these words about how Herod received St. John. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and a holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. This looks like a good attitude in perceiving a preacher or a person who is giving instruction. Herod, here he heard him gladly, he feared him, he regarded him as a holy man, and he protected him. This is wonderful. But what was the problem? The problem of Herod was the problem of the people of Israel when God spoke to Ezekiel and said to him, "Indeed, you are to them," Ezekiel preaching, "he is for the people like as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them." Come to the church, I say, how wonderful sermon that we heard today. It touched my heart. Then what? Then what's going to happen afterward? Sometimes nothing. We just enjoyed it. It's exactly like here God saying to Ezekiel, as if you are a good singer who plays well on an instrument. This is exactly how things were between Herod and St. John the Baptist. "I like what you say. I'm not going to do with it. I have set already my set of belief. Nothing is going to make me to change my mind." Then, what happened? John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." This is the point of break in the relationship. I enjoy what you say, but when you confront me, away with your head. This is the end of the story. Now we are enemies. I like it you in speaking generally, just speaking to the people in general terms. But when you come and tell me that I am wrong, oh, stop here, I will do whatever, maybe to silence you. And this is what happened. The king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Herod is us, and we are Herod. We listen, we enjoy the word of God till it comes to us. By then, we have all of the reasons to be offended, not to like what you say, to take it personal, to oppose the person who is confronting me, up to, if I can, take away the head of the person who is rebuking me, I would do this with no hesitation. Herod was just an example of us when we do not want to hear the truth. The last point, why did the people follow him? What was about him that made him this great man, that everyone went after him? People regarded him highly. They esteemed him to the utmost. Why? What was about him? They admired his selflessness. When people came to him and said, "Look, the one whom you baptized is baptizing more people than you," his answer was, "He must increase, but I must decrease. I am not a competition with the Lord. I am here actually to lead you to him." This selflessness was something that the people liked in him. He did not try to attract followers. "I want them to be to me. I want you to be at the end to the Lord." People liked him for this. People admired his nobility. He sowed in a vineyard, knowing that he is not going to reap the fruits for himself. Even he is not going to see any fruits. When he was killed, nothing happened in the world at that time. Nothing changed. He was not able really to see that what I labored in is today what I see is happening before me. But he still worked and worked hard. He was not discouraged to say that why I am working, why I'm doing all of this effort. At the end of the day, nothing is changing. He did what he knew is right. And for this nobility, people liked him. People admired his integrity. He told them the truth and cared about the salvation. I wish that you like what I say, but if you don't like it, I will still let you know about it because I care. Not because I want to lord over you or I want to give you a hard time. Because I care about your salvation. Maybe more than what you care about it yourself. This is integrity. This is a man who cared about others. He has his eyes on them. He wanted them saved. Maybe more than making them friends to himself. People liked and admired his care. He taught them the way, how they should be cleansed, be baptized, repent. Giving a sermon or any speech or teaching others about general statements without giving them the way, what they should be doing, is not going to lead the people anyway. I enjoy it, but then what? What I should do afterward? He cared, that's why he taught. And he led the people to know about baptism. People admired his style. He served with a passion and courage. Passion is like a fire. You cannot lit it in others unless it is lit in your heart. Speak to the people in a way that's slack or feeling like really it's not very important. It's exactly like Eli, the priest. He spoke to his sons words that look good. Why are you doing what you are doing? You are offending the people. You are disgracing priesthood. But he said it in a way that was not convincing. His children didn't care much about what he's saying. Simply, he was not passionate about it. And they felt that he really doesn't care. And that's why they lived in the same way until God killed them and even their father Eli. His style was passionate because he has a heart and he cared much. And people followed him because there is something that he was able to lit in their hearts. With the same fire burning in his heart, he was able to charge others as well. The life of St. John the Baptist, again, was very short, maybe less than a year. But all of this, all these lessons, we can learn from him, tell us about what greatness is truly about. May the Lord, through the intercession of St. John the Baptist, grant us all the forgiveness of our sins. Glory be to God forever and ever.